The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Cinema by the Campfire, where I reminisce and analyze the films I believe have really influenced the world of cinema. I'm your host, Odyssey, and it's my job to take you on that journey. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome back to the final episode of Cinema by the Campfire. As always, I'm your host once again, Odyssey, and I just want to say, firstly, thank you for following me along this journey and for having me as your guide when it comes to the importance of movies. Firstly, I want to talk about why I chose movies as the topic of the podcast. That's because it's the few things I am passionate about. And it's one thing that a lot of people can relate to, so I felt like it's perfect for me, something that people would want to listen to. While yes, there are a surplus of movie reviewers on the internet, I feel that each reviewer has a unique perspective to how they view the movies, which is cool. I may like or dislike a movie that you love or hate, and that's okay, it's only natural. But through this series, I was able to give you my interpretation of movies that I believe were important to watch. And it was up to you to decide if you want to listen to me. Hopefully I convinced you. Movies have always been a big part of my life. I think my love of cinema had phases, starting with Whiplash. Through that movie, as I said in the La La Land episode, it allowed me to explore more genres than I had already known and look deeper than what's on the screen. One of my earliest memories is going to a movie theater with my family watching Princess and the Frog. When someone mentions a movie, I can always remember who I watched it with. And I love that I have those memories. And I feel like that you have at least some fond memories of specific movies. For me, it's those long car rides to LA where we would watch the same five movies. My siblings and I would pretty much memorize quotes because we had watched them so many times. I feel like movies has been a way I bond with my family and friends. The go-to hangout activity would be to watch a movie. Movies give me good memories, so having this platform to voice my opinion feels natural to me. While those are my reasons why I love movies, why has this century-old practice still thrived today? What are other reasons people like movies? Well, for one, it's entertainment. We watch movies to enjoy ourselves. People go to watch the movies to feel and to escape from reality. Movies transport us to a different time, place, or situation we may never be able to experience. The emotions we feel when we're engaged by a movie is what makes us come back for more. The thing about movies is that, like art, it's your interpretation of how good or bad it is. And since there are so many different kinds of movies, you'll eventually find something you like. As you have may notice throughout the series, I usually went with movies I really enjoyed, but there are so many I've yet to talk about. So, since this is the final episode, let me give you my 8 movies I'll recommend to watch in no particular order. Why 8? Because it's a cool number. Starting with number 1, the first movie we have is In This Corner of the World. I tend to favor a lot of animated movies throughout the series, and that's because the genre has been a big part of my life, and it's a kind of art that can't be expressed through live-action movies, like this one, for example. tells a story of a girl named Suzu and her life in the 1930s and 40s during World War II, as she moves from her peaceful Hiroshima. It's a slice of life story with romance and drama sprinkled in. The character's just trying to live day by day in a dark time. While the movie is fictional by nature, it is based on actual accounts of what happened during the war. This movie was crowdfunded back in 2015, raising 39 million yen when their goal was 20 million yen. And you could see that allowed them to go the extra mile, not only with the animation, but with how the team extensively researched the time period. They used a number of old photos and documents, and even had elderly survivors to help draw up the cities as they were at the time. Another animated movie that it gets compared to a lot is Grave of the Fireflies by Studio Ghibli, which I disagree with. This corner of the world is not Grave of the Fireflies. It's a transport to another world and another time that we rarely get to see. It's a beautifully researched, depicted preservation of pre-war Hiroshima. A moment in time as the last survivors of the bombs near the end of their lives were threatening to disappear forever. Number two, our next movie, is probably my sister's favorite film of all time. Made from the same director of The Nightmare Before Christmas, does it again with this stop-motion marvel. And the movie is Coraline. The plot is well developed, the animation is detailed and beautiful to look at, and the characters are fascinating and interesting. The world created by Neil Gaiman and Henry Selick is simply captivating, but mysterious and dangerous as well. While it's considered a kid's movie, it's still pretty creepy, and that's what I like about Coraline. They try to appeal to that specific audience. So if you like Nightmare Before Christmas, you'll most likely like Coraline. The next movie we have up is Stand By Me. I absolutely love this movie. We'd watched this so many times as we were camping because the site Burning Falls, it's in California, was actually one of the locations they filmed the movie for. And it's a really good coming of age story. But what really made this movie was the casting for the film. Each character felt as if they were born to play their roles. Joss Whedon, River Phoenix, Corey Feldman, and Jerry O'Connell. Shout out to them for their acting. Their friendship felt real, and the emotions they were able to express made the movies worth watching. Based on Stephen King's novel, The Body, is actually, quote, the best adaptation of his work he's ever seen, end quote. And that's pretty hard to do, as I talked about in episode 2, in terms of adaptations from books to movies. At the end of the day, all good coming-of-age stories has the viewer reminisce of childhood. And when I watch this movie, all I can think about is camping with my cousins in the summer, going to Burning Falls, and watching this movie. At number four, we have one of my favorite biopics ever, The Founder. It's the story of Ray Kroc and how he globalized McDonald's. I was interested in the story at first, but the acting definitely is something to take note of. The McDonald's brothers, played by Nick Offerman and John Carroll Lynch, as well as Ray Kroc, played by Michael Keaton, was so engaging to watch. The way they explained the history of McDonald's through a short conversation was straight to the point. But the story was already so interesting, and something everyone should know about. At number five, we have one of the funniest movies I've ever watched, Shaolin Soccer. Made in 2001 by Stephen Chow, a former Shaolin monk played by the director of the film, reunites with his Shaolin brothers years after their master's death to apply their superhuman martial arts skills to play soccer and bring Shaolin Kung Fu to the masses. Sounds pretty weird, I know, but trust me, once you watch this, it's one of the funniest movies I've ever watched. He also directed another movie that I recommend, Kung Fu Hustle, which is a more comedic take on the Kung Fu genre. This movie has great use of physical comedy, something we don't often see that much nowadays. But along with the physical comedy, the dialogue between the characters is, I feel like, where my sense of humor came from. The timing, the over-exaggeration of certain actions is a staple of Chow's work, and only watching it will make you understand what I'm talking about. This is a movie you won't find anywhere else in terms of comedy. Speaking of martial arts, if you're a fan of that genre, the next movie on the list is for you. Ip Man, starring Donnie Yen, made in 2008, brought a resurgence of the love for Kung Fu that hasn't been seen since Bruce Lee was around. The main reason I love not only this film, but this series are the fight scenes. It was choreographed so well and exciting while staying realistic. You could feel every punch. If you don't know Ip Man, he's based on a real person. He actually mentored Bruce Lee, and through these movies, Donnie Yen has gained respect and became kind of a martial arts symbol, like the character he plays. I also like the message of the movie, that the power doesn't come from how hard you hit or how fast you kick. It comes from inspiring people. It's pretty cool, pretty cool. The next movie I had is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is a movie I did not expect liking so much. It's a much more laid-back Tarantino film, but that's what I think made me like it. It was so different from the usual formula, while still having elements of Tarantino, like good dialogue, a good story, as well as having an all-star cast of actors, but Brad Pitt definitely carried this film. This movie is very interesting, especially the end. I don't want to spoil it. You're just going to have to trust me on this one. And finally, at number 8, we have Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Surprise, another animated movie. I know. But the first appearance of Miles Morales in the big screen also features variations of spider people we don't usually see, like Spider-Ham or Spider-Noir. The use of the different animation styles is something unique that differentiates it from other films. This was a movie that had crossovers before A No Way Home, which just recently came out, or Multiverse of Madness, Doctor Strange. But the thing about superhero movies is that it originated from comic books, so animation goes hand in hand. And I think it's through this movie it brought so much interest in the superhero genre, especially at a time when Endgame and Infinity War was coming out. I feel like that was the peak of superhero fandom. Producers Phil Lord and Christopher Miller wanted Into the Spider-Verse to have a unique look from the beginning, which resulted in over 140 animators combining computer animation with a hand-drawn style designed to mimic comic book art. I really love that aspect of the film. And it blends characters from different universes, the noir anime, 1930s animation, providing each with its own unique visual flair, but somehow make everything feel like it belongs in the same movie. The soundtrack for this movie is pretty good. And with the upcoming release of the sequel coming next year, I'm excited for what's in store for the series. Now, that was my top 8 movies I would recommend. As we near the end of the episode, I just want to say thank you to the listener again for coming along this journey. And for the final time, let's put out the campfire. I was your host, Odyssey. Thank you so much for listening to Cinema by the campfire.